Fantastic. It's so good to be here with you this morning. I've lived in Madawi for a couple of years now, and I have had a little bit to do with Overflow over the years, and I loved hanging out with Pastor Brad and just sort of learning where you guys are up to and how you're doing. And it sounds like you're doing a great job, by the way. Let me give you a little bit more information about myself. I have been in full-time ministry for nearly 30 years and been married for 46 years this year, so a significant period of time. Got 4 adult children, 9 grandkids, and I love my grandkids. Is there any grandparents here? Yeah, man. I don't know. I wish, if I'd known how good grandkids were, I think I would have had them first, because they are so much fun, and there's no responsibility. It's just like, okay, I can feed you up on lollies and chocolate and say, okay, it's time to go home now, see you later. And so I love spoiling my grandkids and sending them back to their parents as a get even a little bit, I guess. But I do want to say thank you to Pastor Brad and to all the leadership here and to all the church, really, because I love your generosity and your partnership with Compassion over many, many years. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But, you know, what we do together is a miracle. A partnership, what we do together, it's actually a miracle. And I don't know if you realize that, but it's the miracle of releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And I just want to just pause there for a minute. It is the miracle. It is a miracle. It is releasing children from poverty. But the most important part of that to me is in Jesus' name. And can I tell you a story? There's a guy called Wes Stafford, and he was a CEO of Compassion International back in the 90s and early 2000s. Great guy. It's a really significant guy in the history of Compassion. And they were just concerned. They wanted to work out how they could grow Compassion more quickly. And so they got a consultant in. Never a good thing, by the way, someone from outside to bring them in and go, okay, what's going wrong here? Anyway, this guy went through the organisation and said, okay, what you need to do is lose the Jesus name thing, get that out of your mission statement, get that out of your logo, and it'll make it easier for people to connect with Compassion. They threw him out the front door, and they doubled down on in Jesus' name. And you know what happened? In the next few years, they doubled in sponsorship numbers. And the only reason I know that is because the new CEO came in and said, what happened 10 years ago? We doubled in a very short period of time. And that's exactly what happened. The organization doubled down in Jesus' name. And ever since then, there's just been a strong growth trajectory. And so I just wanted to really focus in on that just for a second to get you to understand that we do this in Jesus' name. And it is a miracle, and it's amazing what it does. And so what I want to do is quickly, if you aren't aware of what Compassion does, which sounds like most you are, but here's a little short video, 60-second video from Claire Steele. She's the CEO of Compassion Australia. She just gives you a quick overview of what we do as an organisation. So let's throw to that. Thanks.
356 million children live in poverty. Our mission is to see everyone released from poverty in Jesus' name. Our programs assist children through all stages of their development. Through the Mums and Babies program, mothers receive regular home-based care before and after birth. Sponsoring a child provides them with support that meets their individual needs. Children are given physical support and education and the opportunity to hear the gospel. When unexpected crisis arrives, we respond. We provide safe water, food packs, housing, and medical treatment to give children and families the best chance of recovery. Through sponsorship, a one-off donation, prayer, or advocacy, you can make a significant difference in the lives of children living in poverty. Together, we can truly act with compassion.
So that's really quick. I understand that. But if you want to any more information, I've got plenty of information at the table. You can come and see me after, and I can give you any information on any of those components that we mentioned just there. What I do want to say is thank you to you beautiful, faithful sponsors of children already in this church. It is so amazing to see your generosity over such a long period of time. And, you know, here this morning, I will share a little bit more about compassion. I'll do a little bit of a preach, but I just want to run through some stats. Currently, you sponsor 52 children in this church, which is amazing. So well done. Over half of those are Indonesia and across the world. So there's lots of sponsorships across. If we just go to the next screen, there's a map of 11 years of partnership. Amazing. 11. Let me pause there. I shouldn't stop. 11 years is significant. And you have been sowing into that partnership that whole time. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And may I encourage you in it. It does make a big difference. The world map on the next one is, you know, sort of, we were in 25 countries and there's another four coming on board, and it's great to see that growth in compassion and the reach of that. The next screen will show you where where you focus on is mainly in Java, with the island of Java in Indonesia. And here's some stats from that. 87% of Indonesians are Muslim. 25 million live under the poverty line. One in three Indonesian children live in extreme poverty. One out of three live in extreme poverty. And for the Java region specifically, 52% of the poor population in Indonesia are actually in Java. Over 50%. The average wages are around about $12 per day. So you can see those sponsorship funds that you give have a significant difference to help with those children and those families, in fact. And as Brad sort of suggested, that they do make a huge difference. And I truly believe, here's a thought for you, I truly believe that together we are outworking the Great Commission. I, as a pastor, have been struggling over years and years of how the heck do you do the Great Commission? I want to do it. There's everything in me. I understand what the scripture says, you know, about going to all the nations and making disciples and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How the heck do you do that? How do you go to all the nations? That's impossible. In the natural, it's impossible anyway. But through the conduit of an organization like Compassion, we connect churches in Australia, America, all the countries that are sponsoring across the world, through the conduit of compassion, we then connect you to churches in those countries that are in great, great need. And so it's church to church, and it's one child at a time. It is going, we're not in all the nations yet, but we're in quite a few nations, going to the nations. We're discipling these kids in a way that wouldn't be normally possible. We are making a difference in those places. And truly, it's not just the financial poverty that is solved here, it's the spiritual poverty as well. And that's even a greater deal as far as we're concerned. You see, there's over 2.3 million children sponsored, loved and supported by 8,600 local church partners in more than 25 countries. And Compassion has been doing that now for over 70 years. It started in Korea. Just a pastor had a heart for kids that are on the street and they had nothing. And he said, what can I do about that? Over 70 years ago it started. And it's just grown from there ever since. Here's what's very unique about Compassion. It's Christ-centered, church-driven, child-focused. The three C's. Christ-centered, church-driven, child-focused. And the child-focused development is holistic. It's a whole child thing. It's spiritual, physical, socio-emotional and cognitive. So it's taking care, it makes sure there's a spiritual input in their life, makes sure there's a physical care for them as well, medical and those sorts of things. Emotional and social, they try to interact that, and a lot of kids do mention about how they get together with their friends and how it helps them, because they come from very, very, very poor backgrounds. And cognitive obviously helps them in their schooling as well. So that's a quick overview of what we currently are doing together in partnership. And I keep using that word partnership because it actually truly is a partnership. We couldn't do it without you, and you probably might have difficulty doing it without us, because with just the way Compassion set itself up now, in fact, Compassion's name doesn't even appear anywhere in your church necessarily or the churches across the world. We are just the conduit. We just try to help make a difference wherever we are. And the second thought I want to bring with you this morning, I hope it encourages you, but it may challenge you just a little as well. No matter who you are, what your circumstances are, what your age is, young, old, in between, doesn't matter what demographic you come from, I believe we can all make a difference. Wherever we are, whatever God's called us to, we can make a difference. Put your name in there. You can make a difference. Today, you can make a difference. And I'm not sure about you, but sometimes in life, it just seems overwhelming. You just watch the news and go, oh my gosh, what's happening to the world? It's out of control. And sometimes we can feel overwhelmed by that. We can feel, gosh, I've just got to pull back. There's no other options. I don't know what else to do. And we hold back. And that's our human nature. I don't think it's God's plan or purpose for any follower of Jesus to do that. For you, for me, for the church. I just don't believe that's the way God would want us to operate. Sure, be wise, but don't pull back. And in fact, there's multiple Bible verses that will back me up on that. And I'm going to bring one to you this morning, and it's going to clearly say, do not hold back. This is out of Isaiah 54:2, and I've preached this lots of times, but I want to give you some context for this that might help you in a minute. But Isaiah 54:2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Such an encouragement, but it's also such a challenge. Here's some context for you. Just flip back one verse. Just one verse, Isaiah 54, verse 1. Listen to the way it starts. Sing, O barren woman, burst into song, you who never bore a child, shout for joy. You see, God is speaking to his children, to his people. He's trying to get their attention. He's saying, sing, O barren woman. What's that all about? Burst into song, you who never bore a child, shout for joy. God is speaking to Judah, to Jerusalem specifically. He's speaking to the barrenness. He's speaking to the thing in them that wants to hold back. Sing, O barren woman, even though you might be feeling barren on the inside, even though your circumstance may suggest barrenness in your life, even though circumstances might be telling you or making you feel overwhelmed and you want to pull back, God is saying, sing, O barren woman. Sing for joy. Sing even though your circumstances aren't perfect. They aren't good. It's time to sing. It's time to stand up. And he's talking to Israel here, of course, specifically Jerusalem in this instance. But just maybe here this morning, he may be speaking to his children, to you and to me, and saying, sing, O barren woman. And all of a sudden the blokes go, well, not talking to me then. I'm not a woman, I'm a bloke. No, he's speaking to our barrenness, the thing in us that makes us hold back. What's the thing in you whenever it gets mentioned? Maybe it's money. Whenever money gets mentioned, you go, oh, I hate when they talk about money. There's money throughout the whole Bible. It's talked about thousands of times. It's your attitude to money, not money, that's the problem. You see, there's something in us. Maybe there's a fear in you. I'm not specifically talking about money necessarily. I'm just saying in your life, there's something in you that is just, there may be just a touch of barrenness. And every time it gets mentioned, you feel triggered or you feel you want to step back or I don't want to get involved. No, I can't do that. It's not part of what I do. It's not who I am. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe God has got a plan and purpose for you beyond what you currently are thinking. Sing, O barren woman. Burst into song. You who never bore a child, shout for joy. You know, I love this verse too because it's basically suggesting we don't need anything more than we've currently got to enlarge the place of our tent. We don't need a different tent. We don't need a bigger tent. We don't need a different coloured tent. So often in life we think there's the thing we need to make a difference. No, no. Here's God saying, enlarge the place of your tent. It's enlarging the tent we already have. We don't need anything more than we've currently got. It's a declaration of faith. It's declaring that nothing is impossible for God. It's believing that. It's then operating out of that in faith to do what God has called us to do. Enlarge your vision. Enlarge your generosity. Enlarge your capacity. Enlarge the things that God wants you to grow in. Stretch your tent curtains wide. You know, I am a camper for years gone past. And when you put up a tent and it's not well tensioned, the side walls just lean in. And you look inside the tent and you go, there's no room in there. What's going on? It's the same footprint, but there's no room in there. I can't even get my gear in there. Or you get in, you get all wet because there's dew on the side walls. And I believe God is saying, we need to build that capacity by adjusting and tightening those things that perhaps we've been complacent about, perhaps we've ignored in the past, perhaps we haven't addressed the things we needed to address. Maybe we've put it in the too hard basket. But this enlarging is challenging you and me, I believe, to address the things that we maybe not wanted to touch before. And maybe that's stretching your tent curtains wide. Maybe it's adjusting the things you need to adjust in your situation. And the truth is, stretching is never comfortable. It's never fun. But you know what? The goal of Christianity is never comfort. It's never about comfort. Yes, the world wants to make it about comfort. The goal of Christianity is definitely not about comfort. Gosh, if it was, Jesus wouldn't have gone on the cross. He'd gone, no, that's too hard, I'm not doing that. It's not about comfort. Do not hold back. Sing, O barren woman, do not hold back. Sing even though you're feeling a barrenness. Sing even though there's things going on that are testing you. Sing anyway. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Do whatever you have to do to ready yourself for your house for the things God has got for you in the future. Enlarging that is coming ahead. And it's so important we don't try and enlarge and be stretched without lengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. I don't know if you've ever put up a tent, but if you just put the cords down very close to the tent, it only takes a puff of wind and it just blows over. And you put tiny little tent pegs in and it won't hold. They'll just blow away. You need to put good sized tent pegs. Go deeper. Go deeper and go wider. You know, strengthen your stakes and lengthen your cords. You know, maybe for you it might be going deeper is prayer. Maybe it's a Bible study. Maybe it's intercession. Maybe it's worship. Maybe whatever it might be for you, how are you going to go deeper in? How's the Holy Spirit prompting you to go deeper into what he wants? Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Don't allow your current barrenness to hold you back from becoming what God has purposed you to be. You know, and I love the prophetic image that comes in verse 3. It's the image of this barren woman becoming fruitful. In verse 3 it says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. You see, when we address the barrenness in our lives, when we do not hold back and we start stepping up into what God wants to do, there'll be an enlarging. There'll be an enlarging for you. There'll be enlarging for the church. You know, for you, perhaps your barrenness is about sharing your faith. Maybe it's reaching your next door neighbor. Maybe it's about sharing Jesus. And there's a fear that bounds you up in that. Well, maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity to step out of the shadow of that fear and go, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm actually going to. And it's risky and I don't want to. And it's uncomfortable. Oh, uncomfortable. Okay, well, it must be God. Let's do it. You know, step out. For you this morning, it may be looking at a child sponsorship. I know it costs money. And yes, there's challenges around finances in this season. I get it. But maybe for you, there's something that you go, you know what? I do want to make a difference. I want to make a difference on the other side of the world as well. I want to sponsor a child that is in dire circumstances. Can I tell you, I haven't got it. Everyone says, oh, which one's the one that's the most need? All of them. They're all operating on less than $3 a day. That's why they're on there, because they're in poverty. They're extreme poverty. And, you know, I did read a discussion paper from the UN and had the 10 top challenges in the world today. And I went, well, this should be interesting. And the ones I first read went, climate change, wars, pandemics. Yeah, I guess I could have guessed those, because that makes sense. But the ones that got my attention were the next ones that followed. And it was global poverty. Less than 700 million people worldwide face extreme poverty, meaning less than $3 a day they're operating on. And more than 50% of those people in extreme poverty are kids, are children. You know, the next challenge they identified was children's poor access to healthcare, education and safety. 72 million that are old enough to go to school aren't attending, let alone receiving adequate health care and safety. Access to food and hunger. Almost 1 billion out of 8 billion people, every day is a struggle to find food. And here's the truth. It's not that there's not enough food produced in the world to give them food. It's just they can't get access to it. Almost 2.5 billion people can't get access to safe drinking water. Just think about that. Every day. Where are we going to get our water from today? You know, there's a little puddle down the end of the road. We'll go and get some water out of that and risk getting all sorts of diseases from that. And so, you know, a lot of those world challenges come from poverty. And I just think we've got an opportunity to make a difference in that. You know, let me tell you a quick story on something that changed my perspective on poverty. I've been a pastor for a lot of years, been to the mission field many, many, many times. And for the Philippines, I've been 8 or 9 times. And this one particular time, I went to a leader youth conference over there. We had 700 or 800 young people there at the conference. It was fantastic. We were having a great time. And this morning, I walked down to the river with the youth pastor, and we're walking back through the village. And someone yelled out and said, hey, you're a pastor, can you come and pray for someone who's sick? And I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to do that. So went into this very humble hut, and it was quite dark inside, and there was a few candles inside, I realised there was a bed in the middle of the room, and there was a young woman in the bed, and she, as I came in, she acknowledged me and tried to smile, then burst into tears. I thought, oh, what's going on here? Got someone to explain what was happening. Anyway, she had breast cancer. She didn't know she had breast cancer, but she was just getting sick, and basically by the time it got found out she had breast cancer, it was through her body, and there was no chance that it could be operated on. She was a mother, 2 kids, 2 young girls, and she was the main breadwinner in the family. And I found out she couldn't afford hospital. She couldn't afford medical help at all. She couldn't even afford the medication to help with the pain. And I was going to pray for her, of course, and I did pray for her, of course. But something in me rose up. I thought, this isn't right. I don't know if it's because I'm a parent, a dad, and I thought about my kids in that same scenario, but something in me just got really disturbed. It's like, this isn't right. This is a beautiful young woman. She's a Christian. She had a great big Bible on her bedhead open. And we've got the way to help with that. Why can't we? Why aren't we? And anyway, I prayed through tears and sobbing, and I know God can do miracles. And I prayed everything I had. And unfortunately, nothing, you know, sort of changed. And I said, okay, so it's word and deed, right? So we have to do both. We have to, and sometimes the miracle has skin on. It's us. And so when we turn up, I said, okay, the least I can do. I know it's too late to operate on this young woman, but at least I can do is pay for the medication. That was like $50 a month or something. It was nothing. And it was like, I'll pay for that. And whatever it takes, whatever else, if we can get some other medical help. And here's what I want to say to you. Compassion demands a response, right? It's not just, oh, poor lady, I'll pray for you and see you later. No. If God gets our attention, he wants us to do something about that. He wants us to take the next step. Do not hold back. Sing, O barren woman. Yeah, but I haven't got much to do or to offer. Yes, you do. Just step in and see how God will use that. And as I said, I thought I'd seen poverty over the years. I'd seen people living in cardboard boxes, garbage dumps, all sorts of different things. I thought I knew what poverty was, but this really affected me differently and changed the way I thought, because we visited a compassion project while we were over there, and I thought, if this village had been where there'd been a compassion project, this young woman wouldn't be dying. I reckon that would have been picked up. She would have been able to afford to get access to the medical care that needed, and it would have made a huge difference. And that's why I'm here this morning. I represent Compassion Australia proudly, and I'll go around the churches doing this, and I love doing it. But Compassion's approach is a little different. It is one child at a time. One child at a time. You get to choose a child for sponsorship, and you get to build a relationship with them by letter writing, getting to know them. We have had many, many kids over the years. We've been sponsoring for over 30 years. Our church was completely, as your church is, completely behind it, and we love what it did. You know, and as I said, their mandate is Christ-centered, child-focused, church-driven, and that's a bold difference, I think, in this world and age. And it is really miraculous. I've already said that, but I just want to really reinforce that. And it does make a difference in our community and our world. You know, I had this thought. If every spirit-filled Christian actually sponsored a child, child poverty would be gone tomorrow. Why don't we do something about that? And that's not a judgment or a guilt trip, by the way. I'm just saying, in my natural mind, I went, well, we could solve childhood poverty tomorrow. If every spirit-filled Christian just went, yeah, I'll sponsor a child, that would be done. And the fact is, this system, this has been proven over and over and over again that it actually does work. And it is outworking the Great Commission. Okay, let me tie it all up now. Let me give you some facts about it. All it takes is $55 a month. That's what the sponsorship is, okay? So $1.80 a day. And that sounds a bit different to $55 a month, doesn't it? And I know about you, but I don't know what you do with $2 a day, but I can drop a $2 coin and go, oh well, doesn't matter. See you later. And it doesn't even affect me. Obviously, a lot less than a cup of coffee a day. And it'll change the now and the future of children who are currently in poverty. Now, I will add this. It is tax deductible. I always forget that part, because I know you don't do it because it's tax deductible. That makes no sense. But there is a tax deduction you can get with that. You know, I have got the table over there set up, and I'd love to chat to you more about that if you're interested. If you're currently sponsored, come and say good day to me. But I want to finish with this thought before we throw to a video. I've heard this said before as a leadership principle. I love it. It's challenging because it challenges the way we think about things sometimes. Do for the one the thing you wish you could do for everybody. And I must admit, the first time I heard that was counterintuitive. I pushed back and I went, that doesn't make sense. Then everyone else misses out. No, but listen to the principle. Do for the one the thing you wish you could do for everybody. Let me put in context for child sponsorship. I wish I could sponsor every child on this planet who is currently in poverty. I wish I could. I wish I had the resources to do that. But there's no good wishing about things like that. What I can do is sponsor the one or two or three or four that we do currently sponsor at today. And that makes a difference in their life. And yes, I can't be concerned about the others that aren't being sponsored, but I can do it for the ones that I am doing it for. And that's my challenge for you this morning. You know, if you're a sponsor already, maybe it's time for the second one. If you've got two, maybe it's time for a third. Maybe if you're in business, maybe there's a chance that you can sponsor from your business. And it's tax deductible, so that helps as well. But there's a challenge for you. Do not hold back. There's an opportunity to make a difference. And I already know you are a beautiful, generous church. So please, I hope it didn't sound like there was an edge to that. It was, no. I know you're doing great. But don't hold back. Maybe there's more we could do. Please just pray and consider what you might be able to do that could make a difference. And if you're currently a sponsor, please write those letters. Please write those letters to those kids because they love them. I've visited the projects. They've got the letters and the photos and the drawings up on their walls as a prized possession in those little huts they live in. And they love hearing about it. And there's so many stories of young kids that have been drawn out of poverty through compassion and have grown up. And the thing they remember is, my sponsor said I could do it. No one else in my community thought I could do it. There's just a guy who's visited Newcastle just recently, actually, and he's become a doctor. Both his parents were killed, and from Uganda. And he's now a doctor and a leading researcher in AIDS, HIV research in the world. It's amazing. This young kid who, if he hadn't been dragged out of poverty, would have stayed in the cycle of poverty and gone round and round and round, wouldn't have got educated, wouldn't be able to do any of that. No one would have believed in him. And his story is beautiful. And I've got a great video to finish with this morning. It's a young guy, Anjo, from the Philippines. And he's not a doctor, but he's still doing what God's asked of him to do. So I'm going to throw to that video I might come back and pray after that, if that's okay. Thanks.
My childhood life was very challenging. When we are studying, we have to share pencils. The pencil, you must sharpen it, it will get smaller. But we must use it until it will be, until the eraser or the pencil will get smaller. We lose some hopes because we think we are not getting to high school. Our house is at the back of our church. We have a small window. I can see people playing. I started go to church 4 years old. I remember I was playing outside. My mother called me, "Angel, you'll take some pictures and they will register you." Compassion Ministry has provided us school supplies, more friends, more connection to others. Also, my sponsor give me a gift every birthdays, so we don't have to share some pencils, some socks, some bags. Now remember, I said, now I can go to high school. Now I can go to college because of this program. I can feel that. Every time I wrote the letter to my sponsor, I just imagine I was talking to her face to face. Surprisingly, my sponsor gave it a fund to buy a guitar. It's like an engine to my faith. So I want to give best to God by serving and by playing guitar. Since we started our business, to have this printing shop. I said to my wife that it is a business, but it is also a ministry. Back then when I was sad, we're struggling school supplies. And right now, I'm selling school supplies now. Sometimes I sell the school supplies, especially to the kids, on cheaper price. And sometimes it's free because I've been there, it's hard. I have two kids. It brings me a joy that I can provide. If my sponsor was here, wait, my sponsor was watching me. She changed my life. I just want to hug her. For taking my life, my situation, releasing me from poverty, and releasing me from spiritual poverty.
It's a beautiful story, and I can just about bring me unstuck every time I watch that. So let me just pray to finish, and I'll hand back to Pastor Brad. Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, none of what we've spoken about this morning is a surprise to you. We all understand that there's poverty in this world. But God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just prompt us, guide us, lead us. Give us an understanding of how we may do that. Maybe here this morning there's young people and they're saying, well, I could do a part-time job and pay for a child to break that cycle of poverty. And God, I just pray, whatever that is, whatever that might look like, you bring that thought, that understanding, that prompt to each one of us, God, to do what you've called us to do, Lord. And Father, I do pray you break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, give us an awareness, an openness, a greater understanding of what you want us, in each one of us, to do. God, we thank you for Overflow Church. God, we thank you for the amazing difference it is making here in this community, God, and then across the world. And we thank you so much for each and every faithful, serving person here, God. We thank you so much. God, I pray for each one of them that you can enlarge the place of their tents, to stretch the tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, and you will spread out to the right and to the left. Declare that over this church, God, and each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Greg. And I love just the name compassion. You know, Jesus was compassionate just again throughout the Gospels. He just showed compassion, and compassion is that thing about having a heart for people in need and being willing to do something about it. Because it's so easy to go, oh, those poor people. And I love the invitation, the tent. You know, it's about what are we doing with what God's given us, not where do we find the more, but what do we do with what God's placed in our hands? And the greatest thing that we could do for any kid is to help them have a revelation that God loves them. And so whether that be Operation Christmas Child to a kid that you're not going to know who, where, we just trust, you know, we trust the organization. Compassion, you get to develop a relationship and you get to see the fruit of that as well. So yeah, we just bless the work of your hands, Greg, and the compassion team. And again, they're the locals, they're in Newcastle. So, yeah, if I can just close in prayer. Father God, if you could just open your hand, one of your hands, and Lord, God, thank you that everything we have is a gift from you. Everything that we have, our breath, our homes, our resources, are all just a gift from you. Help us to be thankful. Help us to enjoy that. And help us to steward it. Help us to invest our resources. Help us to enjoy our resources in a way that brings you glory. And so we just bless the ministries of compassion. And we just ask that you will just do your loaves and fishes thing. Just multiply the effectiveness of the little or the lot that you have. We just bless it in Jesus' name and just pray its multiplying effect. And it's not just making people's worlds more comfortable and livable, but they have an eternity. They have a hope they find life, and life that only Jesus can bring. So bless us, help us to be generous. Help us to be generous receivers, help us to be generous givers. In Jesus' name. Amen.